Oh, really? Then one, I think previous classes you had sent
Once
audio
again,
also.
just yeah.
Size of those files was also less than 25 MB.
Wait, Prabhu, just I will check.
Okay, so we are online now on broadcast here on YouTube. I'm sharing the link with everyone.
After who WhatsApp will limitation 64 MB.
Okay, so we are on WhatsApp. Sorry, we are on YouTube
Okay.
Okay. So, okay, Angel Mataji or Raji Prabhu, are you both there or only one of you?
He will be joining just now, Prabhuji, in 2 minutes.
Okay. How are you, Mataji?
I'm good, Prabhuji. How are you?
Good, yeah. So, okay, so what we can do today, we can do the kirtan and we can also do the bhajan. And because this is a beginning, we can do the bhajan of. Lotildas Tagore, I think he has written this Parama Karuna Paiduhi Jana Nitai
Excellent. I was just hoping that we will start with that. Excellent.
Jalachandra. Oh,
Love
okay.
that. Yeah, I love that bhajan.
Okay, so yeah, because I think I had very less time today to prepare for anything or think about of any bhajan to start with. So then I think spontaneously this simple plain bhajan came to my mind because I think everyone is familiar with the tune also, so it will be easy for everyone, right? Okay, so let's do the kirtan now, and after the kirtan is over, Aritra, would you like to do the bhajan?
Thank you. My privilege, my pleasure. Thank you. We
Okay,
actually
and
in our Orlando temple, after the DT darshan, after the darshan arti, that is the bhajan we sing always.
okay, yeah, right. In fact, this is also a bhajan sang by Srila Prabhupada when he was in Atlanta. So when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu deities in Atlanta temple, then he became very emotional and ecstatic. And then he was appreciating the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he started singing this bhajan. And I think this is by Lotildas Thakur. Okay, so let's start with the kirtan. Angel Mataji or Raji Prabhu, would you like to start with the kirtan?
प्रभुजी इनका थोड़ा काम चालू है. इज जस्ट डूइंग सम ट्रांजैक्शन एंड ही जॉइनिंग इन 5 मिनट्स.
अच्छा ठीक है आई विल स्टार्ट देन. उज्ज्वला माता जी, वुड यू लाइक टू ट्राई? ओके
सॉरी
प्रभु.
आई थिंक यू कैन डू इट माता जी. यू नो यू बिकॉज़ यू आर अ प्रीचर बाय हार्ट एंड एवरी प्रीचर आई थिंक दे कैन डेफिनेटली ऑफर समथिंग टू द लॉर्ड विथ हार्ट. सो व्हाटएवर यू सिंग विल डेफिनेटली बी एक्सेप्टेड बाय द लॉर्ड.
जय
Yeah,
जय
hopefully not now, but in future, sure, definitely.
Okay. Okay, so let's do one thing. Let's share the screen also. Yeah, so can someone share the screen of the bhajan?
Yes,
I mean, first we'll be doing the kirtan. So till that time, someone can... someone can find out the bhajan and then they can just share on the screen.
Okay, I found out, but sharing is disabled.
Achha, so...
So we have to enable sharing.
Is it
in security?
Then Mother, do you have to make me the co-host? Because it says host disabled, participants screen sharing.
Prabhu,
participants can also share.
Yes.
One second. Okay, I have the option. Multiple participants can share some of this. Okay, I have given the option now. So I think you can share now.
Okay, do you see this screen now?
Yes, perfect. Okay, so let's start with the kirtan and then we'll start with the bhajan.
Okay.
One devotee can respond. Ujwala Madhuri, would you like to respond? Because Aditra will be doing the bhajan. Or Angel Mataji, any one of you.
Prabhu, for me, it's a little bit I'm occupied, Prabhu. Something else is going on side by, so it will be a disturbance.
Okay. So, Angel Mataji, would you like to respond to the kirtan?
Okay, Prabhu, I'll try.
Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Iti Namine.
Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini.
Namaste Sarvate Deve Goravani Bhajanine Nirvishesha Sunyavani Pashatya Nishatayine.
Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prasari Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasari
Vashi Krishna Chaitanya Yonityananda Yadaita Yadada
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavinda
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavinda
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki jai, Vaishnavinda ki jai. Okay. Aritra Prabhu, you can start.
Okay. Parama karuna pahoi dujana nitai.
Okay, one second, Prabhu. So before you, I just wanted to say that Swati Mataji, if you wish, you can respond to Aritra Prabhu's bhajan.
Param karuna bahoi dujana nitai gaura chandra.
Param karuna bahoi dujana nitai gaura chandra.
Bhava avatara shara shiromani kevala ananda kanda.
Sapa avatara shara shiramani kevala ananda kanda.
Parama karuna bahoi dujana nitai gaura chandra.
Parama karuna bahoi dujana nitai gaura chandra.
Avatar shara shiramani kevala ananda kanda.
Shab avatar shara shiramani kevala ananda kanda.
Bhaj bhaj bhai chaitana nitari shudrida vishash tori.
Vaja Vaja Vai Chaitanya Nitai Sudrita Vishwa Shakuri.
Chai Chaliya Shirashe Madhiya Mukhe Balo Hari Hari.
Vishaya Chaliya Sera Samajiya Mukhe Balo Hari Hari. Vishaya chariya sera samajiya mukhe bolo hari hari.
Parama karuna bahoi dujana nitai gaura chandra.
Parama karuna bahoi dujana nitai gaura chandra.
Avatar shara shiramani kevala ananda kanda.
Shab avatar shara shiramani kevala ananda kanda.
Dekho ore bhai tribhuvane bhai amono dayal data.
Dekor bhai tribhuvane nai emon dhoyal dhata.
Ore bhai tribhuvane nai emon dhoyal dhata.
Dekor bhai tribhuvane nai emon dhoyal dhata.
Shupati jure pashana divare shuni jar guna gatha.
Pashu shakhi jure pashana vidare shuni chandra guna gatha.
Shupati jure pashana divare shuni jar guna gatha.
Pashu paki jure pashana vidhare shuni jara kuna gata.
परम करुणा प्रभु द्विजाना निताय गौर चंता
परम करुणा प्रभु द्विजाना निताय गौर चंता
सब अवतार सारा शिर मानी केवल आनंद कांडा
शब अवतार शर शिर मानी केवल आनंद कांडा
संसार मजिया रोहिली पोरिया से पदे नाचिल आशा
संसार मजिया रोहिली पोरिया से पद नहिल आशा
संसार मजिया रोहिली पोरिया से पद नाचिल आशा
संसार मजिया रोहिले पोरिया से पद नाचिल आशा
मन करम गुंजाय समाना कहो लोचन दाशा
अपन कर्म गुंजिय समना कहो लोचन दाशा
अपन करम गुंजाय समाना कहो लोचन दाशा
अपन कर्म बुझे समान कुहेलो लोचन दासा
परम करुणा प्रभु द्विजाना निताय गौर चंदा
परम करुणा प्रभु द्विजाना निताय गौर चंदा
परम करुणा बहु द्विजाना निताय गौर चंद्र
परम करुणा बहु द्विजाना निताय गौर चंद्र
श्री निताय गौर चंद्र की
जय.
अच्छा प्रभु जी, कैन वी रीड द ट्रांसलेशन ऑल्सो? इट्स नॉट वेरी लॉन्ग सो.
Yeah, we should read the translation, but I think it's not necessary to repeat because we don't have so much time actually, so it's not necessary to repeat the verses again.
Acha, okay, so yeah, maybe someone can read then.
Rajiv Prabhu, would you like to read?
Okay, Prabhu, I'll just read the translation one by one. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So, verse 1. The two lords, Nitai Gaurachandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduced a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. Verse 2 is, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari without any motive. Stanza 3. My dear brother, just try and examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. Their merciful qualities are so great that upon hearing them, even birds and beasts cry and stones melt. Point 4. But Lochana Das regrets that I am entrapped by sense gratification. I have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement.
Jai Lochindas Thakur ki jai.
Jai. Very nice bhajan. Very nice.
Yeah.
good selection.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a selection as such. I just randomly chose this because I think everyone is familiar with the tune of this bhajan, and it is a short and sweet bhajan. So I just decided because I didn't have much time to think about which bhajan we should do today. So anyways, we'll be doing bhajans for all the classes now in the future.
Okay.
These are very important, actually. They are extremely powerful, although they are, so they contain the philosophy in essence, entire philosophy in essence, and as well as they also contain the sentiments and emotions that we need to develop as an aspiring sadhaka.
Okay.
All right.
Shall I stop sharing now?
Yeah. You can continue. So now we'll have to share Prabhupada Leelas. And anyone remembers where we left off? Probably I have marked it in the group. Okay, yeah.
Hari one day Prabhupada, that point onwards. Hari says one day Prabhupada was alone in his room.
This we have already covered. I think for the last class you had shared this, so that we can start from here. Okay. But maybe we'll have to just go through it.
Sethi. P.L. Sethi Prabhupada was so merciful.
That also we have done.
The next one is one more Sethi, that one. One day I was building a one story.
That also we have done.
Because there was nowhere. Okay.
Guru Kripa also we have done. Vaikunthanath also we have done. And then we have done. We have also done Madhavananda. Okay, let's start with Guru Kripa. I think maybe we have done this, but I think it's quite important to, we can start again. Let's start with Guru Kripa, which is after Madhavananda.
Okay.
Okay, so can someone share the screen? I'm just... 19. Okay, so who is sharing the screen? Okay, so the time you share the screen, I wanted to make an announcement that Bhalu Maharaj has confirmed for Saturday, but the timing has preponed instead of the same time. It has now been preponed to 3 p.m. instead of 3:30 p.m. And the reason is that because Maharaj is going to speak on the summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it will be in parts. So this will be the first part. And the next part, I don't know when it will happen, but maybe next to next month or probably whenever Maharaj is available. So he will do it, but he has agreed to do it in two parts, or he may do it. We can do it also in three parts, depending on Maharaj's desire. I just realized that it won't be possible to complete the summary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in one class. So then I thought that 1.5 hour is... If we are inviting Maharaj, then we should do it at least for 1.5 hour. And that 1.5 hour will also include questions. So because Maharaj was quite particular about that, Maharaj was particular about the timings. So he wants the class to start at 8 o'clock, 7:30 p.m. his time, and end at 9 p.m. his time, which is 3 to 4:30 for us. So 4:30 we have to wind up. And so we have to make sure that I think there will be a class of one hour or 1 hour 15 minutes, and then we can take up questions for like 15-20 minutes. So after that, I think Mara has to go. Okay. And one more thing, we want to keep this private. I don't want to make it public because I think we have to connect with our group devotees. So we can definitely invite devotees, but whom we know, not everyone. So I don't want to make it a public platform. And definitely we can share the YouTube link with everyone after the class is over. But as far as when Maharaj is giving the class live, then you can share with your devote friends and some other devotees whom you know well. So maybe we want to restrict this to about 30 devotees, maybe around 30, around somewhere around that. We don't want to invite many, many devotees because then, you know, there will be some kind of diversion is there. So let's stick to our group devotees. That's the priority, and you may definitely invite others also, but not everyone.
Prabhuji, what is the date?
Okay. 25th July, Saturday. It's coming Saturday.
Okay. Okay.
It's 3 p.m. Huh? Not in the evening because Maharaj is in Australia currently.
Okay.
Okay. And so now, see, another thing is that Maharaj is extremely scholarly personality. I think most of you are aware of Bhanu Maharaj. He has been translating the books of all the previous acharyas since a long time. And he has given a lot of books in that direction. And apart from that, he's a GBC. He's Prabhupada disciple. He's a Canadian-based Japanese. He's born in Canada. But his ancestors belong to Japan. And he has learned martial arts. He's a great astrologer also. And he has given many seminars on astrology. He is guiding thousands of devotees throughout the globe. And he's extremely, extremely humble person, humble personality. And I've been taking guidance from him since a long time now, maybe more than 4 or 5 years. Although we have never met personally. I mean, I have seen him a lot of times personally. But I've never got an opportunity to speak to him directly. But we have communicated through emails only. And I think now it's a good time that for the first time I will be speaking to him face to face. So he was extremely kind that he accepted the invitation. And we'll be giving the class this Saturday. And then I think we'll be continuing the sessions whenever he's available next. I also wrote to Shivram Maharaj. So Maharaj replied me back saying that he has got a lot of invitations from all over. And currently his main focus is on book writing and his preaching and some other responsibilities that he has taken. So as of now, he won't be able to address us. But he said that perhaps in the future we can do something. So it seems difficult to get him, but we'll keep trying on that. Okay. So I will share, I will make a flyer for the class of Bhanu Maharaj and I will share it in the group. And you have to be careful that you don't make it public everywhere. Okay. I'm not going to post this on Facebook. I don't want to make this public. And I request other devotees also not to post on Facebook. You can invite on a personal basis. Okay. And we can restrict it to 30, 40 devotees like that.
But Prabhuji, even if you send it to one person, then they will send it to many people then.
So that's why it's our responsibility. We should make sure. We can just tell them that invite only few people, not everyone. So we have to make sure that we should inform them. Okay. And so see, basically, we don't want to restrict anyone, but we want to make sure that Maharaj is able to give a priority to our group devotees. Okay. And it should not be diverted to other devotees because I think everyone will get a chance and then obviously they can, if they have any questions or something, you know, they can always contact Maharaj or they can attend his live sessions or they can hear his classes online also. So he has many, many hundreds of lectures on YouTube and ISKCON Desert Jewel, I think. So, you know, for that, the opportunity is always there. We can hear so many sannyasis, gurus, devotees. But here we have a theme and we want to follow that theme. And that is that here we have a focus of going deep in our understanding of Srila Prabhupada's books and understanding the philosophy. So we want to stick with that. And that's why, otherwise, see, what is the point of inviting Maharaj? Because if he is giving class, like just like, you know, Giriraj Maharaj or Radhanath Maharaj or any other devotee, they are giving a lot of classes online. I mean, you know, you just go on YouTube and you just for search on their name, you'll see so many lectures they are currently giving. So we can just hear it online. What is the, you know, connection then? So I think let me be very clear that I want to establish a personal connection with, I want to give you all the chance of establishing a connection with my Gurujan. And obviously I also look forward to it because some of them I have known them quite thoroughly, but some of them I have mostly communicated through emails and through some form of channel. So even I don't have the physical association, personal association of some devotees, but the email contact is there. So the most important thing is siksha. And if you are taking siksha on a long-term basis from someone, then it's not necessary. You must have a physical personal association with that devotee. So in that way, devotees in our group, they have the freedom to ask questions. They want to clarify certain things that they are looking for. Then they will be given opportunity. They will be connected to, the speaker, right? And one more thing. This is not a random thing. Okay, I am planning on a long-term basis in the sense that I think I would like to invite once in a month my Gurujans repeatedly. So now next month I'm planning to invite His Grace Mahatma Prabhu. And then probably the next month I'm planning to invite, I have a couple of other devotees also in mind. So I'll be inviting them. So once in a month I would like to invite them and it will be on a repeated basis unless and until the Guru or the Sannyasi or the GVC or that senior Vaishnava does not have sufficient time. Then it's a different thing. But otherwise, I would like to keep inviting them repeatedly. Okay, so that way you will have that personal connection also. And I think it's very important. Okay. So, is that okay?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know that Maharaj is going to come and he's going to give us the precious time and his association. So we don't want to make it look like, okay, it's only restricted to like a group of 10 devotees. No. Obviously, we want to also see the numbers, but not so much. Like when we had the class by Giriraj Maharaj, you know, there were more than 100 devotees. And I think I had some questions and I think some other devotees had questions. So we were not able to get the opportunity to ask to Maharaj directly. So I think it's a platform where we can actually and learn from them, and at the same time, we can also inquire from them. Yeah, I mean, any type of association, if it is a regular association, then it makes sense. If it is a random association, then it does not serve the purpose. Okay, like one time you go, you give class, and then you are never seen again. That kind of association will not have so much impact. I mean, definitely, if you follow the instructions of that one class for lifetime, you know, then it will have impact. But if you do not follow the instruction, generally, you'll see that there are three kinds of devotees. First class, second class, third class. So let's at least try to get on the second class level where we hear the instructions repeatedly and then try to follow it. We don't want to be in the third category where we keep hearing, but there is no implementation, there is no following. And the first class is someone who is, even without saying something, he will execute the instruction. Okay, so we are definitely probably not on the first class level, but we want to transit from the third class to the second class. If you want to advance in spiritual life, if you have that determination, then even Lava Matra Sadhu Sangh will serve the purpose. But if you are not like that, then repeated instructions have to be given. And for that, we require repeated association. Okay. Okay, let's start now. ओम अज्ञान्ति विनन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जय शलकाय चक्षुरुं विन्तं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. ओके सो हु वुड लाइक टू रीड एंजल माता जी वुड यू लाइक टू स्टार्ट.
ओके प्रभु गुरु कृपा दैट इज द वन प्रभु राइट
या माताजी हैज शेयर्ड ऑन द स्क्रीन यू कैन डायरेक्टली रीड फ्रॉम दैट.
गुरु कृपा प्रभुपाद नेवर टॉक टू मी. He only asked me questions I could not answer, like, why does the grass grow in the cracks on the sidewalk? Or when we were walking along the beach in Madras, he saw a statue across the street of a man on a horse. He said, who is that man on the horse? How would I know? His questions made me feel like a fool. Murkha, fool. One should always be a murkha in front of a guru. As soon as you think, now I've become friendly with the guru, now I know a little bit more, then you are finished. People sometimes think, now I will go somewhere else and I will get some higher instruction. No, Prabhupada will instruct you according to your surrender, according to what you are ready for. But if you think for a second that the guru doesn't know something, then you are finished. Srila Prabhupada strongly ingrained that idea in me. He made me feel like a fool. When the devotees ask Prabhupada questions for the discussions on dialectic spiritualism, I snuck into the room every afternoon and listened. I would hear the champion of the word spar with these past great thinkers and watch him defeat them and present Krishna. It was a great entertainment and it was life. When I began to think, how can I get in the inner circle with his divine grace? And I understood I must do something to get his attention. I was going daily for preaching, but I had to do something more. Srila Prabhupada wasn't close with somebody because he liked the way they looked, dressed, or put on their tilak. It was the service attitude that endeared one to Srila Prabhupada. So Yashodanandan and I went to Bangalore in South India. We preached and learned Sanskrit mantras. We did many things. Then Prabhupada began to write.
Okay. Yeah, so familiarity breeds contempt. That's a very common phrase that we keep using. And it's a reality also because the more you become familiar with people, then the more you take them for granted. And there is also a chance of committing offenses because you get very close and familiar. So, so if you want to be with the fire, then you have to be like fire. And it's very important to have proper understanding of the philosophy and proper understanding of the etiquette when we are with our guru. So, obviously, Prabhupada is the preeminent Siksha Guru and he is the founder Acharya. So, he has a very special position. And the position of Prabhupada is actually the greatest in ISKCON. And everyone else is taking a very humble and position of servitude to Srila Prabhupada. So, but ultimately, Guru is Guru. So, whether a Guru is a Madhyam Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari, or he is a Nitya Siddha, he is Guru. So Guru has to be given that kind of respect. He has to be treated like the way we treat God. So, he, you know, obviously he's not God, but because he is representing God, that's why he must be worshipped like the way we worship God. So one time, Prabhupada was traveling in a limousine, in a very big limousine, and one reporter came, and that reporter saw that Prabhupada was in the limousine, which was arranged by his disciples. So when he came out of the limousine, this reporter asked Prabhupada that, you know, so you have your disciples have arranged a limousine for you, but you are, as a saintly person, you are supposed to be living very simply. And Prabhupada said that limousine is nothing. Krishna owns the entire universe. So even if they give me the entire universe, that will not be sufficient. That will not suffice for me. So this is what Prabhupada replied to the reporter, and the reporter was like completely smashed. So see, the point is that Guru. So when you see the Guru, you have to see Krishna in that person, and it's not necessary that Guru will be coming from the spiritual world to see him like that. Okay, Shastra does not speak about that. Nowhere in the Shastra it is mentioned that a Guru is only a Nitya Siddha. Guru can be anyone. So whoever is providing Siksha is a Guru by definition. And recently I just heard from Bhanu Maharaj one wonderful class on the importance of Siksha and Diksha. Actually, he presented one topic in the ILS, which is ISKCON Leadership Sangha in Mayapur in February month. And very wonderfully he has presented the topic because he has quoted many statements from the Shastra which indicate that, in fact, you will be very surprised to know that most of the statements that the Shastra speak about on the glorification of Guru or about the characteristics of a Guru is actually related to the Siksha Guru. It is not even connected to the Diksha Guru so much. The role of Diksha Guru comes when the Diksha Guru or the Guru gives you Diksha Mantras. That's the only time actually the role of Diksha Guru will come into picture. And obviously he also provides Sambandh Gyan. So this Sambandh Gyan is the knowledge about our relationship with the Lord, and the Guru will also reveal the form of the Lord to us, or the relationship between the Jiva and the Lord. Okay, and which Lord, which form of the Lord, right? Like for example, we know that there are various incarnations of the Lord. So which incarnation we are connected to? We worship Krishna, others are worshipping Ram, others are worshipping Lord Narasimha. So which particular form of the Lord? So these details are revealed to us. And this is the role of the Diksha Guru. And he's supposed to give Sambandh Gyan, whereas the Siksha Guru is supposed to give us the Abhidhaya Gyan, which is acting in relationship, acting in terms of that relationship. How we are supposed to act and how we are supposed to serve in that relationship. That is the role of the Siksha Guru. Anyways, I wanted to make it very brief and short because we want to continue with Prabhupada Leelas. But I want to give a special separate class on this topic. There are many important points which I would like to share. And I think it will clear this misconception about the unnecessary or extreme emphasis on the Diksha Guru. Okay. Actually, this is a wrong thing, to be honest. Okay, and we'll go through the Shastra and we'll see how it is wrong. I mean, wrong in the sense that, okay, you have that kind of awe and reverence and worship for your Diksha Guru. That's completely, absolutely correct. That's fine. But if you disregard your Siksha Gurus who are helping you in your spiritual life, and you shift the entire attention and focus and the credit to the Diksha Guru alone, then that's a wrong thing. So I would like to definitely discuss this elaborately. It's a very, very important topic. I think devotees in ISKCON are gradually realizing this point. In fact, there was a time when the Diksha Guru gained such a prominent role that they were seeing them on the level of Srila Prabhupada. And probably you can say that they were seeing them even surpassing the position of Srila Prabhupada, because he was not physically present, that's why. Okay. So there are certain challenges with the disappearance of the Acharya or the Guru on a physical platform. But if we understand the principles and the tattva, then we can clearly identify and we can realize that what is the importance of Siksha Gurus also. So Chaitanya Charitamrita very clearly says that they are equal and identical in all respects. Okay, now how do you see the Siksha Guru as equal to the Diksha Guru? Do you see him as inferior to him or do you see as superior to him? These are all the things that we can discuss in that class. And I would look forward to give that class, but not sure when we can do this. Maybe we can have a separate special class for this. So anyways, the idea is that, coming back to the main point, that we should be always be careful not to become very familiar, and we have the attitude of the humble servant of the devotees and especially the guru. If we lose this attitude, then everything is finished, as Guru Kripa Prabhu is sharing here. Right? Any questions or comments on this? So we will see from Shastra, whatever the statements, Shastric statements about Guru, they are actually applicable to the Siksha Gurus. You will be surprised to know that. Okay, we'll go through that later on. So the most important element of Guru-disciple relationship is the Siksha relationship. Okay. And obviously we take initiation from a Diksha Guru, but I think the most important element to consider is that we are taking regular guidance from him. That's why we take initiation from him. So we get inspiration from that devotee because of their guidance, because of the siksha that they provide, not for any other reason. That's the only reason of our connection with the guru. Okay, no questions, no comments. Then we can continue. Matri, can you share the next? Angel Madhuri, you can continue.
Yes, please. To understand Guru Tattva is a difficult subject matter. When you understand Guru Tattva, Krishna is guaranteed. But beginners switch from this Guru to that because their faith is not solid. Srila Prabhupada has given everything 1,000 times over. If you hear his tapes, he is saying the same thing because we need to hear it. Nowhere else in the world you will see any guru getting daily guru puja. With other gurus, guru puja is held only once a year on their appearance day. And nowhere else will you hear that samsar prayer sung at Mangal Aarti. Why did Prabhupada stress worship of the guru? Because Westerners are headstrong. First, we have to catch the importance of Guru's mercy. And by satisfying the Guru, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasada, then we can satisfy Krishna. Then we can think of other things.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting and important point, what Guru Kripa Prabhu is mentioning here, that this is what we observe, that nowhere else in the world you'll see any guru getting daily guru puja. So you see, we go to ISKCON and we are doing daily puja to Srila Prabhupada, which is unique in itself. You won't find this generally in any other sampradaya or in any other community, that they offer guru puja like that, daily guru puja. So once in a year, that is generally, I think it is done on the Vyas Puja day of the Guru. And generally the founder Acharya of that parampara or sampradaya is worshipped. But you'll see that Srila Prabhupada, there is, you know, daily Guru Puja. So this clearly shows the unique, transcendental, extraordinary position of Srila Prabhupada. And so as Guru Kripa rightly said, to understand Guru Tattva is a difficult subject matter, which obviously we all know. We have all discussed this. And when we understand Guru Tattva, we understand Krishna also. That's why Prabhupada also, many times he has quoted this verse from the Svetavastara Upanishad. Yasya deve para bhakti, yatha deve tatha guru. tasate kathitaya artha prakashante mahatmanam. That unless and until we have implicit faith in the spiritual master and the Lord simultaneously, the purpose of Vedas will not be revealed to us. Okay, so if you understand Guru, you understand Krishna also. You have faith in Guru, you have faith in Krishna also. You have devotion for Guru, you have devotion for Krishna also. It's a simultaneous thing. Yeah, okay. So any comments or questions on this? Okay, before we continue, I just wanted to be right back one second. Okay,
Guru Kripa. Once I deposited $1,08,000 in the ISKCON India account. That was the way I gave Prabhupada money. And in Vrindavan, I showed Prabhupada the receipt. At that time, Prabhupada was walking on the construction site of the Krishna Balaram temple. I went to take a bath, came back, and went up to him while he was still walking around. He immediately yelled at me, "Take that dhoti off. It was the wrong color. Never let me see you in that again," he said. On many occasions, he would chastise me. One of the hardest things in management was to take the hit for other people. Once in Hawaii, Srila Prabhupada ordered us to hold a 24-hour kirtan. I organized it. We didn't have much of a crew, but we started. Prabhupada's room was just above the temple room, and that evening, a devotee with a terrible voice was singing. He sounded like a cat in the alley. Srila Prabhupada said, "Who is that?" I said, "It's the 24-hour kirtan." "What 24-hour kirtan?" I said, "Srila Prabhupada, you ordered a 24-hour kirtan." He said, "I didn't order any 24-hour kirtan." So we stopped it. He made it seem as if he didn't know anything about it. He was training us. If you were in a big position, you would get big credit. And if you made a blunder, you would get severely chastised. Once in Japan, when we were having trouble with the police, I took the DTs out of the country. Srila Prabhupada said that he would close Mayapur before he closed Japan, and he practically didn't talk to me for 3 months. I rectified my mistake. Chastisement was his mercy. Sometimes he would chastise for no reason. Once in Hawaii, he sent his servant at 12:30 a.m. to wake me. The servant said, "Srila Prabhupada wants to talk with you." So I went there, sat down, and Prabhupada excused the servant. We were sitting alone. I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." I thought I was doing well. I was sleeping 5 hours a day, getting up, serving and organizing. Srila Prabhupada said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Taking rest." "Why?" "Because I'm tired." "Why are you tired?" He said, "I am sitting here translating books. I have had only 1.5 hours sleep. That is enough. Why you cannot sit with me and translate?" I said, "Srila Prabhupada, you are Paramhans. I am a beginner. Why? Are you not a Paramhans?" I became frustrated and angry. What did I do? Usually, you need a reason to get yelled at. Then I said, "I'm just a nonsense." He said, "Why you are nonsense?" And I was trapped. My face turned flushed and blue. And I saw that now I've become angry with Prabhupada. What could I do? People thought it was easy to be around His divine grace. I laugh at that. I scoff. That time in Hawaii, He got me in a corner and there was nothing left to do. So I started to cry. I was defeated. Then He hugged me, told me a story about Krishna from the Krishna book and said, "Now go take rest." He sent me to bed like a kid.
So in this way, if you could take it, he set the pattern for future relationships. Once I had to give him some money for a devotee to go to Taiwan. I didn't like that devotee because he would not cooperate. So I refused. No, Prabhupada, I won't give him any money. Srila Prabhupada said, I will give him. I said, Prabhupada, you're wasting your money on this man. And we discussed this. Finally, I got up, stood up and said, I quit, I quit, I quit. Srila Prabhupada said, I will also quit. Now sit down. Then after I cooled down, I said, I'm sorry, Srila Prabhupada, that I got so excited. He said, that is good, you are enthusiastic. It was not a bowl of cherries to be around His Divine Grace. It was not easy. He was the Acharya and He had to set the standard. He was very grateful for the service you did, but you could not use that. In the beginning, He used to thank me and say how nicely I was collecting money. But later on, I would deposit the money, 100,000, 200,000, and He never said a word. He'd just push the receipt aside without even a thank you. If you ever gave me $200,000, I would say something nice. But for Prabhupada, it was service to Krishna, and we took it as that. There was no expectation of a reward. We were simply waiting for His mercy. We must have firm faith, and it must be as solid as the rock of Gibraltar or the Himalayan mountains. Krishna is testing. Someone may come with a little potency, but he isn't even half a speck next to His Divine Grace. And His teachings are not the same yet. Our teachings are not the same. Yet people think, oh, I will get it cheap over there. They don't want to pay the price. Neither do they understand the price. It is not an easy thing. To understand Guru Tattva is a difficult subject matter. When you understand Guru Tattva, Krishna is guaranteed. But beginners switch from this guru to that because their faith is not solid. Srila Prabhupada has given everything 1,000 times over. If you hear his tapes, he's saying the same thing because we need to hear it. Nowhere else in the world you will see any guru getting daily guru puja. With other gurus, guru puja is held only once a year on their disappearance day. And nowhere else will you hear samsara prayers sung at Mangal Aarti. Why did Prabhupada stress worship of the Guru? Because Westerners are headstrong. First, we have to catch the importance of the Guru's mercy, and by satisfying the Guru, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasada, then we can satisfy Krishna. Then we can think of other things.
Yeah. Okay, so I think this is repeated, the last stanza, the last paragraph. But, I remember why it is repeated because I think I only shared the last paragraph of this Leela, thinking that this is important. But then when I read this again, I felt that I should share the entire thing because it's a bit long. So I just felt initially that I should share only the last part. But after again going through it, then I shared the entire thing. So anyways, there are a couple of points here. And Mataji, can you just take it up right from the beginning? So we'll go through some important points, important comments that he's making. So one and the first things that the first thing that comes to my mind after going through this entire narration by Guru Kripa Prabhu is that he had a special relationship with Prabhupada, and he could get annoyed with Prabhupada, or he could get angry with Prabhupada. And obviously it was a childish anger. It was not intended anger, in the sense that we fight with the parents sometimes. They are elders to us. So we are definitely respectful to them. But at the same time, we also have the liberty to question them sometimes, or we may argue with them sometimes, or we may get disappointed with them, or we may become angry also with them. So similarly, here also we see that certain disciples of Prabhupada, they had a special relationship with Prabhupada. And I think that special mercy is given to them because they were the first initial devotees that helped Prabhupada like anything. So that's why Prabhupada had a special relationship with all these devotees in the beginning. And obviously, that special relationship may also, you know, is probably also with other devotees like who came very late. For example, Bhakti Charu Maharaj is there, Gaur Govind Maharaj is there, Mai Guru Maharaj. So all these personalities, they came a bit late, or they were quite young, but still Prabhupada actually gave them that kind of special connection. So this is not applicable to everyone. With some of the disciples, Prabhupada was very heavy. Some of the disciples, he was like a rose, and some disciples, he was like a thunderbolt. And he was the same rose and thunderbolt with other disciples also, simultaneously. So here we can see that Guru Kripa Prabhu is sharing a very special relationship. Even though he is getting angry over petty things, at the same time, he has that kind of respect for Prabhupada. And he knows that he is ultimately my authority and my guru. So basically, he has the spirit of surrender and finally accepting the will of the guru. That is the most important. So Prabhupada understood that. He knew that. He saw that in his disciples. And depending on that, he chastised them. At the same time, then he also showed his affection to them. Okay. So guru-disciple relationship is quite dynamic. It is not something which is... it's a variety, basically. You will not see, and that's why everyone has a different kind of dealing. So like, for example, I think all of you devotees, you have probably a Diksha Guru, and you have Siksha Gurus, and you have some other devotee friends, and you see that how all of them are so unique and different in their own ways of dealing with you. It's not that everyone is same, right? So because the variety is always going to be there, because of the principle of individuality, the variety will be there. And because of the variety, there will be difference in behavior and dealings with the disciples. So it's not going to be the same. So you'll receive chastisement from one guru, and probably you'll receive love from another guru. I mean, both are love only, but you may receive rose from the other guru, and you may receive thunderbolt from other guru, like that. And I think it is actually necessary and required that not every guru must be like a rose. Some should take a position of a thunderbolt also, because then it will balance your Krishna consciousness, and you will also realize your mistakes. You'll also realize that you are ultimately a servant. You'll also realize that ultimately you're supposed to be a humble servant of the Vaishnavas. And you will also develop the mood of surrender, cultivate the spirit of service or finally surrender, right? So without surrender, without the spirit of surrender, there is no question of advancing in Krishna consciousness. Even though you may do all types of sadhana and you may increase the quantity of the sadhana, but unless and until you surrender to someone, there is a lack in Krishna consciousness. So you will not make any advancement through that. Because the entire goal of your sadhana is to make you surrender to Krishna or his representative. Right? So, if someone can share the screen for the next Leela. Okay, yeah. Without receiving chastisement, we will not know what are our anarthas, where we are lacking in our Krishna consciousness, what are our drawbacks, and what are the areas that we have to improve on. So this is a very important principle. If you don't want chastisement, if you don't like chastisement, then I don't think anyone can make advancement through that. So there is definitely softness of the guru in terms of showing a lot of love, affection, care. But at the same time, I think when the time will come, they have to also be like a thunderbolt so that we can advance in Krishna consciousness. It's very, very, very extremely, extremely important principle. The most important element, I think, of Krishna consciousness is that finally, in fact, this is one of the topics that I wanted Giriraj Maharaj to speak on. I had given him three topics, and this is one of the topics, the most important element of Krishna consciousness. So ultimately, we have to know one thing, that long as you are not honored by the Guru, as long as you know that the Guru is going to be happy, pleased with your sadhana, seva, whatever, you can continue to do it. But as soon as the Guru will interfere and he will provide his feedback, suggestions, then we have to take it. It may be difficult to digest it, but we have to take it and we have to implement and we have to follow that. So, and I think it's a very important concept because it will gradually make us develop the attitude of surrender to the Guru, surrender to Krishna. Then only, and this is a practice, you know, because no one can surrender to Krishna right away. It takes a lot of time. In fact, as I have shared this earlier also, that in one purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that even the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is to surrender to Krishna. Because he writes that it's very difficult in Kali Yuga to surrender to Krishna. And that's why Krishna is asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So, gradually by chanting Hare Krishna, one will surrender to Krishna. That is the intention of chanting Hare Krishna also. Right? And obviously, the more you surrender, the more you like to chant Hare Krishna also. It's all connected. The more you surrender, the more the taste is there in the holy name, and the more the holy name, the Lord will reveal himself in the holy name. So, see, that's why Krishna is not revealing us currently, because we are committing apradhs and we are also not in that attitude of being a surrendered devotee or a servant of someone. Okay, we are not cultivating that attitude. And actually, in reality, this is a quite, you know, it's a bit an offensive mentality, because we want to dominate as well as we want to continue our sadhana. But the point is that the entire sadhana purpose is to make us realize that we are actually, finally, the servants. We are not the enjoyers. We are not the masters. So unless and until we cultivate this kind of attitude, it's not possible to advance in Krishna consciousness. And that's why you will see that most of the devotees, they will always remain at the state of bhajana kriya anartha nivritti. They will not go beyond that. So they may be able to do their sadhana, but they will not go beyond that. They will not achieve the state of nishtha, ruchi, asakti, bhav, prem. So those who have crossed the stage of nishtha and they have gone to ruchi, for them it becomes easier, because they have understood that ultimately we have to surrender to the Lord. So we have to sacrifice for the Lord's pleasure. So they get the taste and they will go ahead. But those for, especially this is a very critical stage, bhajana kriya anartha nivritti, because the problem is that we are dealing mostly with our egos, and we are mostly dealing with our desire to enjoy in some form or the other, whether it is in the spiritual life or whether it is in the material life. We desire to enjoy. Okay, we want to, actually I would say that we want to feel peaceful in Krishna consciousness, which is actually not the goal. Being peaceful is not the goal. In fact, to be in anxiety is the goal. So once you attain love for someone, then obviously you will be in anxiety for that person. So that anxiety will only come through the grace of a Vaishnava. And that will only come when we start cultivating the attitude of surrendering to that Vaishnava. Okay. So this is extremely important. And I think this is one of the unique qualities of Prabhupada disciples, that even though they were individuals, they had their own conceptions of things, but they always surrendered to Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada said, in fact, there is one, I remember there is one wonderful letter by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, wherein he states this point. Because Prabhupada, I think he is guiding Gopal Krishna Maharaj in a couple of areas. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj has some conceptions about those areas. But then finally he writes in the letter that Prabhupada, no matter whatever opinions I have, ultimately, I will always follow you and I will never disobey you. I will always follow you, I will always surrender to you. So this is a very important principle that, yeah, as far as you have some inspiration, you have some natural, way of doing things, you may do it in that way. Probably you are inspired in that way. But finally, when the Guru will interrupt, when he wants to interfere and he wants to give suggestions, or he says that it should be like this, then at that point, we have to actually surrender to the Guru. So this is what This quality is found in Prabhupada disciples. You'll see a common feature of all these Prabhupada disciples. That's why they are so special. Even though on the point of sadhana, maybe some of the disciples were weak because some of them were not chanting 16 rounds. But on the principle of, you see, surrender to Guru, they were quite deep in that. In fact, I have shared this earlier also that if you remember, one of the temple president, he was not even chanting his 16 rounds. And so the God brothers went to Prabhupada and they told Prabhupada that he's not even chanting. How can he be the temple president? And Prabhupada said, so what if he's not chanting 16 rounds? Arjun was also not chanting 16 rounds. But he was following Krishna's instruction. And he was not chanting, but he was remembering the Lord while fighting. So similarly, this temple president, because he is completely engaged in whatever I have given to him, he's on the right track. Why are you finding faults with him? Right? I have shared this earlier. And so there were other examples also where Prabhupada did show that kind of compassion or that kind of mercy to some of his disciples. But on other occasions, Prabhupada also said that chanting 16 rounds is the most important principle. Okay, whenever so according to time and circumstance, Prabhupada dealt differently with his disciples. But being faithful to the Guru is actually the one of the best qualities that a devotee should have. It's actually more important to be faithful and loyal to the Guru than to try to be on your own. Even though you may be strong in your sadhana, but have less loyalty and faith in the Guru. Okay, so having more faith in the Guru will be actually helpful in the long run. Whereas less faith in the Guru, weak faith in the Guru, ultimately your sadhana will also come to a stop. It will go down. You'll commit aparad and your sadhana, even if you continue your sadhana, see, it's like sometimes devotees may say that if you commit offenses, your sadhana will go down, you'll stop everything. No, it's not necessary. You commit offenses, your sadhana will also go along. Okay. And so how do we know whether we are committing offenses or not? And we can know only when we have knowledge. And we can actually understand that the point that, okay, we are not advancing further from this point. We are not attaining higher stages, or we are not advancing from this point. We are not having the mercy of our Guru. That means there is some lacking. In fact, there is an example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of a Mayavadi who was with Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. And he was chanting the name of Lord Ramchandra continuously. So now you see, here is a Mayavadi. The very fact that he's a Mayavadi is actually an offensive. He's an offender. Right? So he's an offender, but still he's able to chant the holy name of Lord Ramchandra continuously every day. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is looking at him, he's ignoring him. He gives his mercy to Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, but he is ignoring this Mayavadi, because Mahaprabhu knows that what is the intention of his chanting the holy names of Lord Ramchandra. Whereas Raghunath Bhatt Goswami is not able to understand that initially. Then later on, it is revealed to him by this Mayavadi himself that actually he is chanting the name of Lord Ramchandra because he wants to become Lord Ram. So even Mayavadis or anyone who would like to be steady, practice steadiness, is also possible. So sadhana can also be steady even if you commit offenses, but you will not go ahead. You will not understand. And that's Krishna's illusion. Okay, so I think there is a small presentation by Mahatma Prabhu also on this topic, and where devotees are asking this question that devotees, there are devotees who are offending other devotees, but still they are continuing their sadhana, they are still chanting the holy name, they are still following the regular principles. How is that possible? So then Mahatma Prabhu is also giving some examples in that presentation. I think it's on YouTube. So these things are very subtle things. You will not be able to realize these things because if you are independently oriented, if you do not have the attitude, you do not cultivate the attitude of surrender, then it's a it's a difficult thing for us because we get trapped in the illusion. Even bhakti can be illusion. It can become illusion. Okay, so it's not necessary that whoever is chanting the holy name, whoever is studying their devotion, it's not necessary. We don't know that. So it's always best and safe to follow humbly the guidance of a advanced devotee. Okay, any comment or question on this till now, what we have discussed? No question? Okay. So, does it make sense to everyone? Anyone has any doubt about what we discussed now?
No, Prabhuji. I don't.
Aditra?
I'll share now.
Yeah, Aditra, you are saying something?
I'm still processing. So, tell me one thing. I sometimes feel that like Prabhupada's immediate disciples, you are saying that they received that mercy and they were able to do extraordinary things. Okay, in their service to Prabhupada, they were completely surrendered. Ajay, so for the our generation or for the grand disciples of Prabhupada, okay, who are not directly connected to Prabhupada, like in the sense that they were not directly serving Prabhupada, but they are serving Prabhupada through their spiritual masters, their gurus, or serving Prabhupada's disciples. So they have like those disciples, Prabhupada's direct disciples, they have a special position. Are they having special mercy compared to us? Since they were, you only mentioned that that Prabhupada gave them that special mercy. So that special mercy that they received, as opposed to us. And also, when I say us, some of us are doing extraordinary service, but some of us, due to circumstances, may not be able to perform that kind of service. So I'll not mix two questions. Just I wanted to know, our generation of devotees, grand disciples of Prabhupada, who are not directly serving Prabhupada, okay, not in his time. We are trying to serve through his instructions, through the instructions that are coming through his books and his disciples. So how is our position different from, do we have to work harder? How do we get to that point of surrender? You know, that point of surrender, the way Prabhupada's disciples had.
Okay. See, first of all, I didn't mention that they had special mercy of Prabhupada. I said they had a special relationship with Prabhupada. So there is a difference between special mercy of Prabhupada and special relationship with Prabhupada. And obviously, they will have special relationship when Prabhupada is physically there. Right? So in that sense, and the way Prabhupada dealt with them. So I also said that some of them, they had kind of dealing with Prabhupada, not every one of them. So like here, Gurudipa Prabhu is also one of the examples where he's got a lot of chastisement from Prabhupada, and at the same time, he's also got the liberty or the freedom to, as a child, to, to present his views to Srila Prabhupada. And sometimes it can be in the form of anger, sometimes it can be in the form of some kind of doubt or some kind of confusion. Okay, so it's not necessary that the guru will see each and every disciple based on the relationship of surrender. I mean, surrender in the sense that it's not necessary that each and every disciple will say, yes, boss, yes, boss, yes, boss, all the time. Okay. I mean, obviously, ultimately, we have to accept the will of Guru and Krishna. But one, because we are individuals, so we can also, I mean, Prabhupada did give that freedom to all of his disciples that they should think of some kind of problem. If they face some kind of problem, difficult situation, some kind of managerial problem, then they have to think about it intelligently. That's why he formed the GVC also, so that most of these matters, they are not brought to him. He wanted that all these GVC members will solve all these problems. That definitely means that they should use their intelligence and they should think about it and they should solve the problems. Okay. And at the same time, teaching them not to be dependent on the guru for each and every small thing. Right. So, you know, we, whatever the guru has taught us, we execute that, we try to implement, and then we teach others and use that intelligence for other service. Okay. So special mercy, you know, when you talk about special mercy, the special mercy is available to everyone. Whoever follows Prabhupada completely, they will get the special mercy of Prabhupada, irrespective of whether they have taken birth now or then. In fact, I will tell you one thing. You may be thinking that how come all these devotees, Prabhupada disciples especially, they were surrendered to Prabhupada so soon. But Prabhupada does mention a couple of times that they were Indians in the past birth. And they took birth in an Indian family. And that's how they have continued from the previous life. Okay. So, it's not necessary, you know, because we kind of think always in this lifetime. But these Prabhupada disciples, they have probably taken birth previously in India. And that's how they have come in the next life and they have surrendered to Prabhupada. So maybe surrendered for them was quite easy or maybe not easy, but they had that faith in Prabhupada because of their Sukriti in the previous life. So special mercy is definitely available to everyone. But yeah, definitely we have, we think that they are special because they are proper disciples. And I mean, we respect them for that. That's a unique kind of respect for them. But at the same time, we should also know that whoever is following Prabhupada deeply, they are also very special. So, it's just that, you know, they are able to give us the association of Prabhupada through their Vani, which we are currently discussing. So all these Prabhupada disciples, they have a lot of association with Prabhupada and they are able, they are actually allowing us to decode the personality of Prabhupada, how Prabhupada actually was in practical life. Right? A very important consideration, not just a theoretical aspect of Acharya, but a very practical aspect of Acharya. So it's quite current for us because we are just one generation after them. Okay. And that way, they are connecting us to Prabhupada also very deeply. In fact, I will tell you one thing that this is so important. See, what we are doing is actually the goal of ISKCON. And I'm not bluffing, okay? I mean, I'm not saying just because this is our group, you know, study. And I was not aware of these things. You know, it just happened with time. But I just realized and I just recently when I heard of Bhanu Maharaj's class, I think every ISKCON GBC leader is talking about this now. They want to give Prabhupada to everyone. That is their central, central focus. They want to give Prabhupada to everyone and they are having discussions how to give Prabhupada to everyone. So one of the discussions that came in was that definitely everyone knows that, okay, through Prabhupada books, reading Prabhupada books. Okay. And one very interesting point Maharaj made in the class is that he said that not just once, But all the leaders should repeatedly emphasize this point that they are just under the umbrella of Prabhupada's mercy. And they are just representing Prabhupada. They are just giving Prabhupada. They are following the teaching of Prabhupada and they are sharing their teachings. So they have to repeatedly mention this point. And only then the connection of the devotees, the new devotees or whoever, whichever devotee is lacking their relationship with Prabhupada, then they'll be able to connect with Prabhupada deeply. So we can understand from this. I think all of you must get some kind of personal connection when we are discussing these pastimes of Prabhupada. You are getting a feeling of Prabhupada's transcendental personality, which probably you are not, and your affection for Prabhupada, your attachment to Prabhupada will also increase, right? Just because we are going through all these leaders of Prabhupada. So this is so important. What we are doing is actually the entire ISKCON world is heading towards now. And in future it will happen, because you will see that with time, the problem is that Prabhupada's focus at the center is being lost. And this is what His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj also focused so much. His main service was actually to get everyone to have the faith that Prabhupada is actually the center of the movement. Okay. This is a very, very big contribution of Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He believed in this very strongly, and he was the one who was actually helping all the devotees to realize this. So, keeping Prabhupada in the center is actually most essential for each and every devotee, and this is what we want to do. We want to channelize our focus to Srila Prabhupada in the sense that he is the first authority for us. That's what we actually want to do here. Okay. And this is how the entire ISKCON world is heading towards. So gradually in the future, you'll see how, obviously now they have started the series of important reading Srila Prabhupada's books every day. But a time will come when they will start openly mentioning about the importance of connecting with Prabhupada. In fact, this is also another topic which I had sent to Giriraj Maharaj, importance of deeply connecting with Prabhupada. But I think with the current practical scenario, he chose the topic of passing away of devotees in unfortunate circumstances. So Maharaj said that these two are very good topics. The one importance of deeply connecting with Prabhupada and the other one which I mentioned, the most important element in Krishna consciousness. So, the more you get connected to Prabhupada's teachings, his vapu, in the sense of his leelas, the more you will actually realize Prabhupada is connected to you very deeply, and you will also get the reciprocation of Srila Prabhupada. In fact, it's so interesting. Today I heard Guru Maharaj giving his address for the 32nd anniversary of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple. Today they are celebrated. Nirvika, did you hear what Maharaj said?
No, Prabhuji, I could not log in at that time. I will hear it tomorrow. I couldn't hear it.
Okay, anyone else did they? I don't know if other devotees would have heard, but if someone has heard. But anyways, you know, I was like very fortunate because I didn't hear the opening sessions of the offerings of the devotees, but when I just started the live streaming, Maharaj just began by offering his Mangalacharan, and then he spoke for like maybe around 20 minutes or something. And I was so fortunate because as soon as Maharaj stopped his class, some of my activity was also done. So then I could hear Maharaj completely. And one thing he mentioned in this addressal, and before also he has mentioned this point, that after the demise of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Maharaj is actually, he has become more accessible to Guru Maharaj because he is reading his book, The Ocean of Mercy. And Maharaj is saying that now actually I can relate, I can understand each and every line of this word is directly instructing me. So earlier I have read this book, I have read it once, but now when I read it, I feel this, you know, that Maharaj is directly instructing me through the book. So see, this kind of feeling is a very deep feeling, and it is a very deep revelation also. So it does not, you know, it's not a small thing. When the guru will pass away, that connection becomes more stronger if you are still following the instructions and if you have the faith and loyalty towards your guru. That will, the bonding will become more stronger actually than ever. So this is what Guru Maharaj was sharing about Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and this is what I wanted to connect back to Prabhupada's Bapu also, that although he has passed away many years ago, but if someone would follow Prabhupada very strictly, then definitely they will have the access of Prabhupada. So that way special mercy is available to everyone. Yeah, but the relationship may differ between a guru and a disciple. Yeah, so is that okay, Aritra Prabhu?
Okay.
Yeah, another thing I think, okay, yeah, you also mentioned about extraordinary service. So if one is not able to do it. See, okay, let me be very clear on this, that everyone has a special talent and everyone is doing some service for Prabhupada. In some or other form, they are doing service for Prabhupada according to their capacity. Now, if someone is empowered, definitely they are very fortunate. But I think there is one thing we have to be careful, that we should not cultivate the feeling of competitiveness. Okay, we should be careful. And unnecessarily, then we'll get into the mode of trying to always think that, okay, this person is doing extraordinary and I'm just doing ordinary service. We will get into that kind of entanglement. Someone is doing extraordinary service, but they have probably done that kind of ordinary service in the previous life, or they have probably pleased their guru, or they have advanced in their spiritual life in the past life, and now they are able to do it. So we should not try to compare with others, and we should also not unnecessarily try to, we should not think of that. I mean, that competitiveness is extremely, I think, in material world, in today's generation, it's very natural. But we have to give up this kind of thinking, thought process, because we start feeling that we are not doing something and we want recognition and we want appreciation from other devotees. And that will actually affect our Krishna consciousness. Instead of that, see, and everyone, every service and every devotee, they have their own timing. So Krishna will empower them in a future, maybe in the next life or maybe in the same life, but in the future, Krishna will empower them and they will do it with time. And even if they're not able to do it, if you are doing service, see, now there are devotees who are constantly engaged in services, and so so-called extraordinary service is not there, but in the background they are doing a lot of services and they are not even known to us. So if you are able to do service according to your capacity, and there is a time for everything, you cannot jump just because some others are getting that opportunity of doing extraordinary service there, and obviously there is a sacrifice behind that, and there is also the sacrifice of time. They are giving a lot of time to that. If you don't have the time to do that, then there is a time for which you have to wait when it will happen. So you can have your goal set, what you want to achieve in Krishna service, but according to your current time, place, circumstance, you should be satisfied. You should know that, okay, this is my responsibility, this is my duty. In fact, I think the devotees who have known this, that at what time they are supposed to do what, they are actually successful in their Krishna consciousness. And those who are trying to jump, they are trying to always compare themselves with other devotees, extraordinary devotees. And they try to increase their services, or they try to increase their sadhana or whatever. They realize at some point of time, it does not work. And they go back. Okay. So, okay, sadhana, maybe we can do it. But it requires a lot of intelligence and patience to balance seva with sadhana and with other relationships. We have, if we are a grihastha, then we have so many responsibilities also. So basically the idea is that I think at our stage or at our position, if we just understand that, okay, we have these responsibilities currently and we have to do it. And at the same time, whatever service I can offer, then it is absolutely okay. And we have to strive. We have to wait for the time when we'll be able to do more service for Krishna and the Guru and Guru. Okay. So that's why there is a plan by Prabhupada that, okay, you be in the Grihastha Ashram for 50 years and then take Vanaprastha. So now basically it means that you have to cultivate the spirit of renunciation internally. And you have to cultivate taste in Krishna consciousness. And you know, with time, you come to a level where you are ready to engage in the Lord's service constantly. So it might not be possible right now because of some duties, responsibilities, obligations. Or maybe we are not in that stage. You know, the spirit of renunciation has not yet come. We have not attained that kind of level of taste for Krishna. And that's why we are not able to do it. So it is very important to be honest also. Okay. But I think we have to understand very thoroughly that this is a very gradual process. It does not, overnight you cannot become a great devotee, a great Vaishnava. Okay. And I think the devotees who are constantly engaged in services in the background, they are also in one way, they are doing extraordinary services. There's no difference as such. It's just that someone is able to contribute in a significant way, in a significant amount, and someone is able to contribute in a smaller quantity. Like just for example, in Lord Ramchandra's pastime also, we had the squirrel and we had Hanuman. Lord Ramchandra gave them both equal status. He did not feel that Hanuman is doing great service. He's doing extraordinary service. No. Squirrel was also trying his best to serve the Lord. Right? So, extraordinary service can happen. It may happen in the future. But we have to work for it. Okay. And the process is not to jump, but we have to go gradually. We have to make sure that whatever we have to do, that is all finished. And then take that leap. Okay. So, yeah. So, this is some practical experiences and what I've heard from devotees in Grihastha life. To advance in Grihastha Ashram itself is actually a big challenge. The fact that devotees have children, that's a big task. Okay, we don't have children, so we have a lot of time. But those Grihasthas who have children, their main responsibility is basically to bring them to Krishna consciousness somehow, to make them wonderful devotees. And that takes life. It will take a lifetime of service. It's extremely difficult, actually. This service is very difficult. And there is no guarantee that they will become devotees. So to train and guide children in Krishna consciousness, okay, and then to see the responsibilities also. So these are all important things. You require physical, mental, emotional counseling at each and every stage. It's not just about Krishna consciousness. You are in a problem. I just tell you, keep chanting Hare Krishna. Your problems will go away. It will never work. Okay, only if you are chanting Shudnam or Namabas, everything will be gone completely. But we know that this is not working practically and we are chanting with offenses. So I have to give you practical solutions for that. And you have to practically sort it out. Okay, you cannot give it up. You don't have that kind of faith that everything depends on Krishna and whatever he does, I'm willing to accept it and, I'm surrendered completely to him. So obviously that case is also not there. Right? So, we have to go very gradual. We cannot jump. I can give class every day, but I know that by giving class every day, I will not justify many other things. Okay. I maybe I can give class thrice or four times in a week, but I know that it will create a problem for me. I will not be able to balance properly. So at the current stage, wherever you are at, I think that's also service, that, you know, we should not try to jump over our duties and responsibilities and try to push ourselves to do something more, which is, you know, currently not allowing us to do. So this is a very important principle. We have to balance everything. And ultimately, the desire is to serve the Lord. So if He will desire, then we'll get that kind of extraordinary service also. So we have to be careful, right? So obviously, I'm not addressing Aritra on this. I'm just, in general, I'm talking about the attitude of devotees who would want to do some extraordinary services. It's just that we just have to do some kind of checkup on ourselves, that what is the intention, okay, and whether we are ready for that currently. If not, humbly accept it, right? So, yeah. So, is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, any other devotees, they have any comments on this or question? Okay, so let's continue. Yeah, I mean, we were still in the same lila. Oh, Madhuri, can you go back to the same lila? Yeah, okay. All right. So now, so here we can see that Prabhupada is saying that he didn't order any 24-hour kirtan. And we see that in other temples, Prabhupada said that he wants 24-hour kirtan. Like in Vrindavan, he wanted 24-hour kirtan. So again, it seems that Prabhupada is actually saying different things, but I think this is the way the Acharya behaves, you know, and we cannot understand the mind of Acharyas, because they actually understand the purpose and they know what is applicable in what time, place, circumstance. So that's why, you know, we have to understand these things in the proper context. Prabhupada said many times, chant constantly, chant 24 hours a day. Prabhupada also encouraged to chant more rounds. Right, he did not just emphasize on 16 rounds, but he said that these are like minimum rounds. You can increase more, but other times Prabhupada said that you are in Maya. You know, when devotees chanted 64 rounds, he said you are in Maya. So here also the Prabhupada is saying that he did not order the 24-hour kirtan. Now, see, there is a very interesting point here, because Prabhupada is not even saying that, okay, you know, it's wonderful you guys are doing 24-hour kirtan. He's saying that I did not order any 24-hour kirtan. And you will feel strange, because this is Acharya who is actually saying that, you know, he has not necessarily approved your 24-hour kirtan. So depending on time, place, circumstance, the Acharyas, they actually know and they will apply accordingly. Yeah, another interesting point he's making is that, so Prabhupada said that he would close Mayapur before he closed Japan. And so now you can actually understand the importance of preaching, for, you know, how important preaching was for Srila Prabhupada. How important was to give Krishna consciousness to others. See, Mayapur, Prabhupada is saying like that because Mayapur is a dham. And there are all devotees there living in Mayapur. So it does not affect if we close a center in Mayapur, but you cannot afford to close a center in Japan, because there are so many people who will be dependent on the temple. So many people who will get Krishna consciousness through the temple. Right? So it does not bother for Prabhupada to close Mayapur temple than to close Japan. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Can you come down, Madhuri? Okay. Anyways, yeah, we can go ahead now. Okay, so who would like to continue? Anjali Madhuri, are you still there?
Prabhuji, I can read for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Karandhar. In Los Angeles, I asked Prabhupada about the devotees' diet. He mentioned that devotees should eat simply. He told me that moong dal should always have a little bit of ghee in it, otherwise it creates problems with the eyes. And he mentioned that ghee should be made from unsalted butter. But when we had a chance of getting surplus salted butter from the government, Prabhupada said, oh, okay, get it and make it into ghee. It can be used, but it's not ideal.
Yeah. See, I have shared this little leela of Prabhupada because I think there are some important lessons to be learned in terms of Prabhupada setting some standards and then himself not fully following those standards. Or you can say that, you know, he made some compromise on the standard. So there are certain instances like that where we see that Prabhupada said one time that, I think in one letter, Prabhupada said that Ural Dal is high of protein and whatever is high of protein is a non-veg item. But at the same time, we see that there was one particular festival and that time in presence of Prabhupada, devotees had served Ural Dal. And everyone took that prasadam. There were a couple of instances like that where Prabhupada actually did not recommend something, but he made a compromise. So I think we have to be careful before quoting or emphasizing on certain eatable products. I mean, it's not necessary that we have to convey devotees that, okay, this is the only thing that we should have. Prabhupada made that adjustment. He said, one time he said that peanut oil is a third class oil, something like that he said. And he also said that one time he saw someone eating some he ate some fried items cooked from the peanut oil, and the next day that person got heart attack and he passed away. So he said that peanut oil is actually third class oil. Whereas we see that peanut oil is regularly used in probably most of the houses in the world. And probably the devotees also use peanut oil. So according to temple circumstance, I think we have to make a choice. Okay. So any question or comment on this?
So, Prabhuji, should we be eating urad dal or no? Because I believe all South Indian items are made with urad dal in it.
Yeah, exactly. Like dosa, medu vada. Many things are made. Yeah, we do eat. Yeah, so see, this is something that you observe in the temple also. That temple also will serve us all these prasadam items. And we see in Govindas also, or in the restaurants owned by devotees, that's a different thing. But at least in the temple also, you see that this is all served. And for prasadam also, urad dal is served. It's not necessarily whole urad dal. It can be mixed with different items and it can be served. So, yeah, we can have it. We do have to consider the fact that it is high protein. And we have to be careful. I mean, if you have some problem with that, then you have to be careful about it. But those devotees who have less protein, maybe it's a good option for them. So, yeah, in fact, he even said for Masoor Dal. Masoor Dal also, Prabhupada said it's a non-veg because it is high of protein. Yeah, and I'm not sure about Masoor Dal, whether devotees in ISKCON they use Masoodar or not. Yeah, so this is a very practical pastime of Prabhupada where we can actually learn a couple of things. Okay, any other question? Like, you know, for me, soya does not work for me. It's actually, I'm probably very allergic to soya. This is what I realized now over a period of time. And it is also, I think, high in protein. So, I mean, first of all, I don't like it. And I try to avoid it completely because I'm allergic to it. So, even soya sauce that is that we put in Chinese prasad, that also, you know, small amount is okay, but I cannot take beyond a certain amount. In fact, I think my wife just told me that soya has, when they sell soya sauce, it's mentioned on the sauce, on the bottle, that this is probably, you may be allergic to this, so you have to be careful. I think they mention, you know, with caution. So, this is what my wife told me recently. Okay. Any other question? Okay. Yeah, please continue.
Jayadvait Swami. Since 1968, I had a question that I'd been thinking about in different ways. Finally, I was on a walk with big men, sannyasis and GBC, when I screwed up my courage and asked Srila Prabhupada my question. Here, from the recording, is the way it went. I said, the spiritual masters know everything and they are perfect in everything. But sometimes from a material viewpoint, we see some discrepancies. Prabhupada said, because material viewpoint, the viewpoint is wrong. Therefore, you find discrepancies. I said, so we should think that we have the defect. Prabhupada said, yes. Acharya has explained. One who is preaching the cult of devotional service, he is Acharya. Then why should you find any discrepancy? I replied, because for instance, sometimes the Acharya may seem to forget something or not to know something. So from our point of view, if someone has forgotten, that is an imperfection. Prabhupada retorted, no. Then you do not understand. Acharya is not God, omniscient. He is servant of God. His business is to preach bhakti cult. That is Acharya. Perfection is how he is preaching bhakti cult. That's all. I then stated, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who knows him knows everything. That box is coming in between. Acharya. Prabhupada said, yes, because if he knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he knows everything. That's all. Then he knows everything. That's all. Not that he should know as Krishna. If he accepts Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, then he knows everything. Then I gave the example of Gaur Kishore, who could not write, although he knew Krishna. Prabhupada said, yes, he knows everything. Otherwise, how Bhakti Siddhant accepted him as Guru? He knows Krishna. That's all. After the walk, several GBC men and sannyasis jumped on me. You have a lot of nerve. How could you ask Srila Prabhupada that kind of question? Who do you think you are? That was offensive. I was a little concerned. So after the class, I went to Srila Prabhupada's room when I came in and offered obeisances. I said, Srila Prabhupada, that question that I asked this morning, he said, what is that? I recapped the question. I said, Srila Prabhupada, was the question offensive? Srila Prabhupada said, not offensive, just ignorant.
Yeah, so this is so important. In fact, this is also connected to our discussion on the position of Srila Prabhupada or the Acharya. So now, see, one thing is there that we must have implicit faith in Guru and Krishna. That is there. But now what kind of faith? What level of faith? And in which areas? That is also important. So here we know that Guru is not God or Acharya is not God. And that's why, now see, if you ask the question to the Guru or the Acharya that how many molecules are there in the ocean? Okay. Will he be able to answer?
Uh,
No.
Yeah. So he'll not be able to answer, right? Or someone thinks that he will be able to answer. Everyone knows that he's not going to answer that question. Okay. And obviously that's a question that we don't ask the spiritual master also, because he's not concerned with that. So, and he's not supposed to know that. So now Prabhupada, when he says here that the guru knows everything, it means that the guru realizes Krishna, and because he realizes Krishna and because Krishna knows everything. So the guru knows everything means in essence, he knows everything, or because he has known Krishna, that's why he does not need to know anything else. In that sense, he knows everything. Does not mean that he becomes God and he starts knowing each and every detail. So Krishna will answer your question. How many molecules are there in the ocean? Okay. But the guru will not answer because Krishna knows everything. In fact, he is the creator. So he will give you the answer for that. So you cannot expect the guru to be materially absolute. When Prabhupada commented on a particular subject matter with respect to the material nature or material world, he was often offered a correction by his disciples, and he accepted that. So, like for example, in a Prabhupada news, he commented on a particular area on the material world, and many times Prabhupada asked his disciples, or if his disciples were specialized in particular areas, then he took the suggestion of his disciples in that area. Okay, but he never showed that he knew everything, that he knows about each and every material thing. Now see, it's a unique thing about Prabhupada that he knew a lot of things. That is for sure, because if you go through his leelas, you will understand that Prabhupada knew about many, many topics from the material world also. So he knew a lot about it. And I think because he was a Satya Vesh Avatar, so that means a direct incarnation, the empowered incarnation of the Lord, that's why it was definitely possible for him to know about the material world so strongly. Okay. But he used to take suggestions of his disciples. He used to ask them about certain things in the material world. Okay. And he would never dominate himself in terms of material knowledge. So we have to remember one thing, that the guru knows everything which is required for us to surrender to Krishna. Okay, that he knows, or he's supposed to know that. Now, so here Prabhupada gives example of God Kishodas Babaji, who actually was illiterate, but he knew Krishna in the sense that he heard the Siddhant from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Diksha Guru, who was what's his name? He was also a Babaji. I forgot the name of the Diksha Guru of.
I think his name is Bhagwat Das or Bhagwat
Das Babaji. Bhagwat Das, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, so he heard from Bhaktivinoda Thakur majorly. He was his prominent Diksha Guru. And that Siddhant obviously he knew. In fact, because they are pure souls, the chanting reveals everything to them. And it does not mean that chanting will reveal each and every detail of the material world. It will reveal as far as we require in the service of Krishna. So now, see, one may say that Prabhupada knew many things and he was quite authoritative on a couple of things in the context of the material world. But I think that authoritativeness came from his connection with Krishna. So he said something and it was true. So when it was connected to the material world, it happened, it came out to be true. I think because he was empowered by the Lord, and definitely the super soul is also inspiring from within. He's also answering from within. So now see, what is the thing? That Prabhupada may not know everything, but when the time came, it seemed that Prabhupada knew about these things, but that knowing of Prabhupada came directly from the super soul or from the Lord directly. Okay. So the Lord provided knowledge to Prabhupada, and this knowledge, this is called revelation. So this revelation is different from knowing something from the scriptures or from the devotees. Okay, revelation is revealed, revelation to us from the heart, from within. Okay, and this is different. So now Gaurakrishna Das Babaji Maharaj realized, and he was all these things were revealed to him from within. So you can say that Sambandh Abhidhaya Pravachan, everything was like Sambandh Gyan was revealed to Gaurakrishna Das Babaji through his pure chanting. And he also took the siksha of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So in spite of being an illiterate, he heard and then he knew also. Okay. So like, you know, if you remember, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had mentioned, which I had shared, that Prabhupada also, in his life also, two things were responsible. His own knowledge of Shastra was there. At the same time, the revelation from Krishna was also there. Both things were parallel. Okay, and this is a both, it's a parallel process. So we attain knowledge, we get knowledge, and at the same time, certain things are revealed to us from within before receiving that knowledge from others. So you have conviction many times that this is how it will be. Like for example, okay, let me give a very relevant example, a very beautiful example. I just had an experience that long time, you know, like I was thinking that why is prasadam, why devotees are not supposed to have prasadam in front of the deities. My conviction was that we can have prasadam in front of deities also. Okay. And I keep hearing this, and I've also read in Prabhupada's purports. In fact, Prabhupada said different things at different times. So I think maybe Prabhupada also said some, you know, the probably the opposite way around also. He must have said. But I think I just I keep hearing this, that we are not supposed to eat in front of deities, and then obviously the curtain has to be closed. The deities should not watch us eating prasadam. I was feeling that, why is this? Because actually the devotees, they are relishing the remnants of the Lord. So just by seeing that the Lord is so pleased. How many of you think like that? Or do you think that no, it's an etiquette and, you know, we should honor prasadam like that? Anyone feels like that? You know, why it is not allowed? Or why it is allowed? You know, why it should be allowed? Anyone feels like that? No one? So everyone thinks that it should not be honored in front of deities? How many of you think like that?
Prabhuji, such a question didn't even come in my mind actually anytime.
You know, as Prabhupada said, this is not offensive, just ignorant. So you are just ignorant, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm just that.
Okay. Other devotees?
I don't know. It's maybe they say it because, okay, as you are saying, that the deities, they are going to be happy seeing the devotees honor prasadam. But
actually, you know, to be honest, main to bhagwan ko dikha ke kata hu ki dekho aapka le raha hu aur aapka kha raha hu.
maybe they say okay, mat prasadam mat lo deities ke samne, because a lot of us may not be having that kind of pure consciousness where we are thinking that we are honoring, rather than, like, you know, we are trying to, like, a lot of us may think like, okay, I'm trying to enjoy, I'm trying to satisfy my senses, maybe subtly also, not may not be very directly, but subtly So that may be offensive to the deities, because the deities want, the deities are satisfied, are happy when they see that the devotees are honoring prasadam, that they are in the mood of accepting the their mercy, like that kind of mood.
Chaturvidashi Bhagavat Prasado Svadvana Tripta Hari Bhakta Sangha Kritaiva Triptam Bhajata Sadaiva Vande Guroshi Charanaravindam. Right? So, what is the meaning of that verse?
And the spiritual master is very happy to see the devotees, the disciples, honoring Prasadam very, in a very satisfied way, very, very, very content way.
So if Guru is very happy and then we say that Guru is the representative of Krishna, so then Krishna should be very happy also. You have correctly mentioned that many times we forget that we are supposed to honor, and we forget that it's the remnants of the Lord, and we get into that kind of sense enjoyment mode. So then obviously that should be done respectfully with awe and reverence. But anyways, I'm not promoting my views, and I'm not saying that I like to do that. But it's just a thought or a question that came up in my mind. And so like this, in bhakti, you'll see that all these thoughts will come. And then you'll see that, oh, these are confirmed by the Acharya and the scriptures. Later on, you'll actually realize these things. You will get to know these things. So that means that it's a revelation. It's a So now, okay, Ujwala Mataji, you have any comments on this? Ujwala Madhuri, are you there? Okay, not sure if she's currently there, but okay. Anyways, I don't know if Angel Mataji and Raji Prabhu, they're awake. Probably they are not. So anyways, okay, Swati Mataji, you'd like to say something?
Prabhuji, also we have heard that we should one should not offer obeisances to others in front of the deities. So this is something similar.
Correct. And so the same thing is also, yeah. So you have quoted a very relevant example, which is in similar mood. And we know that we are not supposed to offer obeisances in front of the deities. And we do offer our obeisances to our guru or some senior devotee. So, yeah, this is also there. Yeah. So coming to the shastric or the confirmation from the Acharya. So see, if you have, I don't remember if I have discussed this in our Nectar Devotion class. But I have shared the insights by Vishnu Chakra Thakur and Jiva Goswami. And in this particular context, Jiva Goswami disagrees like they don't purposefully disagree, but it's just a difference of opinion. I would say like that. There is no disagreement as such, but there's a difference of opinion from between Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur. And Jiva Goswami says that we are not supposed to have any food in front of deity. Whereas Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says that only tambula or the chewing of betel nuts or betel nuts is actually not allowed in front of deities. Rest, everything is okay. So when you hear all these things, your convictions are confirmed. And you can actually understand that, okay, this is another way to look at Krishna consciousness. And as Swati Mataji also gave a relevant example that bowing in front of deities is actually not allowed. But see, there are terms and conditions applicable to this. So you see that if you offer obeisances to your Guru Maharaj in front of deities, I think Krishna will be definitely be pleased. If you offer obeisances to the devotees, Krishna will be pleased. Why? I mean, I think so. These rules and regulations, they apply for those with the wrong mentality, you know, which means that the intention is wrong, or their goal is wrong. So maybe for Karmakandis or Mayavadis, where they actually don't have any feelings for the Lord, and they want to minimize the position of the Lord. So for them, they may offer obeisances to people in front of the deities, and probably they want to they disregard bhakti. So for them, maybe, you know, for these kind of people, actually it is applicable. But for devotees, I think there's a new dimension to it. And we have to understand that there is a higher principle also. So we cannot just take all these statements literally and say that, well, these things are not allowed. That's a, I think it's one way of seeing things, but and probably I think that you can see this in the framework of regulative principles also. As far as we are, you know, struggling with devotion, it can be seen in terms of following certain regulative principles. So rules and regulations are important in that sense, but we also should know the purpose and the higher principle of following that rule and regulation. The intention of that purpose should be there. Otherwise, we will be lost. We'll become fanatics. Right? Okay. So, yeah. So, this is something which is revelation and knowledge. Both things are together. And
so, Prabhupada, should we eat or should we not eat?
I think, see, there can be a difference of opinion amongst devotees on this, and you have to follow any one of them. So it is your choice. It's your conviction, your inspiration, because it's approved by the Goswamis or the Acharyas. And I mean, it's all about intention, ultimately. So, I mean, to be on the safe side, I would say that, okay, follow it. I would think that let's follow the general approach. Like, for example, if you go to a temple and if all the devotees are following that etiquette, then you also follow it. Very simple. Because you don't want to unnecessarily separate yourself from others. So you also follow that etiquette. I mean, I would do like that, you know. I mean, whenever I am in an external environment where all the devotees are doing something, so we continue doing that thing. We don't want to make ourselves out of the box. Okay, everyone is doing, let me also do like that. It's okay. I mean, this is something that it's not necessary that you have to prove your point. It's just a detail. It's not necessarily a principle. Okay. So I would go along with the flow and avoid any kind of controversy or discussion on this. And maybe it's a personal choice also. So maybe openly I would not do. Openly I would not do, just to avoid some kind of controversy or discussion. And maybe in private I probably might do it, depending on the inspiration. So like that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's very important to, especially when we are in a open environment, I think it's important to follow all these things, so that unnecessarily it will not create any disturbance. Like, you know, for example, Rupa Goswami also states in the Bhaktisamrita Sindhu that Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrik Vidhim Vina Ekantiki Hare Bhakti Utpata Eva Kalpate. That without following the intentions of Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Panchatatri Vidhi, all so-called types of faith and devotion simply creates disturbance in society. So we follow all these things, but we also should know the higher purpose and principles on this. So whenever you feel that certain times you are not able to do that, not able to follow that, you don't have to become fanatic. That no, I will do it like this only, and this is the only thing that is right. It's not like that. We have to understand the higher principle. This is what is more important. Okay. Any question? Oh, it's 11:40. So yeah, I'm very happy today that there's no disturbance. There's no breaking of voice. There's no breaking of video. In fact, I have shared this in the CC class that actually last Sunday, there was some issue in the control room. So I got a message from the internet service provider that there was a problem in the control main line. That's why we were facing some kind of interruption. But I think today was like, everything was, did you feel any breaking in voice or video?
No picture. Sometimes I felt it, but it could be my own problem. I'm not sure. Very,
Achha,
very.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, Aritra?
No. Yeah, no disturbance.
Great. I think, okay. Then I'm happy that we can now, I mean, you can also share. I have already shared the link on YouTube, the YouTube link I have shared because we are live on YouTube. And so if devotees want, they can share it with other devotees also because I think this is something that we can share now. So, all right. So we're looking forward to the next, very eager to look forward to hear from His Holiness Bhanu Swami Maharaj on Saturday. Remember the timings, and especially Aritra and Swati Mataji. Yeah, I mean, you know, for Swati Mataji, it will be 4:30. Yeah. So will you be able to adjust?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'll try to join.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, Ujwala Mataji, are you there?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah, okay, Mataji. So, you will be there, right, on Saturday?
Yes, Prabhu.
Because without you, we cannot do anything, Mataji. We are all dependent on you, Mataji.
No, Prabhu. It's a pleasure to serve you.
So, Mataji has been doing all the wonderful help.
It was fact, excellent, Prabhu. From your side, no break or nothing.
Yeah,
plus,
yeah,
it should go ahead like this only.
Hopefully, let's see. But I do see the videos that I see, the classes that I hear of devotees from India. I think all of them, they have this common problem.
Yours is excellent compared to all other classes.
Okay, hopefully, let's see. Okay. I think without the content, everything is excellent. Only the content has some problem. I mean, I would like to thank each and every devotee. All of you are doing so much service and always eager and enthused for hearing. And you are all helping so much also. So my humble obeisances to each and every devotee in this group. Very grateful to all of you. So, all right. So thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna. Let me end.